The Heavenly Father, we'd ask, dear Lord, that you would bless us, that you would cause your face to shine upon the word today, dear Lord, that it would be brought forth, dear Heavenly Father, with comfort and with conviction, dear Heavenly Father. I'd ask that you would move mightily amongst us that are gathered here today, dear Heavenly Father. Dear Lord, I ask that you would grant repentance for those that listen to the tape, dear Heavenly Father, and that it would become a way of life to all that hear the word today, dear Lord. We thank you for the technology of being able to record these messages, dear Lord, and we'd ask that you would bless them outside these walls and through the ages, dear Heavenly Father, and that your word would be glorified, and that you would be glorified through your Son, Jesus Christ, in our lives and in our pulpit, dear Lord. And I would pray that you would grant repentance to those men that stand in pulpits throughout the world and prostitute the word of God, dear Heavenly Father, that you would convict them of their unfaithfulness, and that you would cause them to repent of their wickedness, dear Heavenly Father, and that they would bring forth your word from your throne room after spending time with you in your word in your throne room, dear Heavenly Father. And we would ask for that word to come from the throne room, dear Lord. We'd ask you these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Okay, turn to John chapter 1, verse 4. Today's message is named, What is the Meaning of Life? When you were a child, did you not ask yourself that question? What is the meaning of life? What does this all mean? Today we will look at the answer. The word life is a dominant theme throughout John. Turn to chapter 1, verse 4. In him, Jesus was life, and the life was the light of men. This is going to be a dominant theme throughout John's gospel, this word life. As Joe mentioned in previous teachings, the goal of John is that you may believe. Turn to John 20. And not also that you would just believe. John 20, verses 30 and 31. And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. So it's not just believing, it's a life too. Let's turn to John 14. We're going to look at a couple aspects of that life. John 14, 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There's life in no one else but Jesus Christ. There's no other way to the Father. The Muslims can't get there. The Jews can't get there. The Shinto can't get there. Hindu can't get there because they don't want to come the way the Father has designated to live this life. This life is also, turn to John 10, 28. 10:28, and I give them eternal life. This is Jesus Christ speaking. That's the context. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Eternal life. How long is eternal? Eternal means eternal. It doesn't mean 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 50 years, 100 years. Eternal life means eternal. That's what the Lord has given you. An eternal life. So he's the only way to the Father. He gives you eternal life. He also gives you abundant life. You're in chapter 10 there? Look at verse 10. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. It is not optional. He gave you this eternal life. He brought you to the Heavenly Father through him, and he has given you an abundant life. That word life is Zoe in Greek. In him was life. That's our text. In him was life. That life that he gives you is supposed to be a real and a genuine life, an active and a vigorous life, devoted to God, blessed of God. That is the kind of life that he has given us. He's also in our text, what he's primarily speaking of in John 1:4 is physical life. Turn to Genesis 2:7. Primarily, that's what the text is saying. Genesis 2:7, to show you his equality with the Father, Job touched on the Trinity and the deity of Jesus Christ. It's the same thing. Chapter 2 of Genesis, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living being. So our text in John is saying that in him is physical life. That's John's primary use there. As we go on in John, he's going to speak about spiritual life. Okay? In the text, 1-4 is primarily dealing with physical life. Spiritual life and eternal life will be developed further on as we get into the message. The point is that just as Jesus is the source of physical life, he is the source of spiritual life also. Turn to John 5:21. He is not only the source of physical life, but spiritual life. John 5:21. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. There's no life apart from Jesus Christ. Even so the Son gives life to whom he will. You cannot deny Jesus Christ and say you have eternal life. It's an utter impossibility. Notice in Genesis 2:7 that the ruach, the breath, the wind, in Genesis 2:7, the breath of God brought physical life to man. Okay, the physical life came to man from the ruach hakodesh, the Holy Spirit, is what brought physical life. So in the spiritual realm, the ruach has to blow once again. Turn to John 3, verses 7 and 8. The breath of God brought physical life. To bring spiritual life, there has to be another blowing that takes place. John 3, 7 and 8. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but it cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. The wind of the Holy Spirit must blow through a person's dead soul and regenerate it. That's the same Ruach HaKodesh that has to blow. You notice it says, you don't know where it comes from. You can't put it in a nice little box, the Holy Spirit. You don't know where the wind comes from, and you don't know where it goes. All you see is the results of where that wind blew through. One thing Jesus said about this life, as I started to touch on, is an abundant life. He promised you an abundant life. Do you live this way? Do you live an abundant life? If your answer is no, why not? Would you like to know? If you answered no, then I would say you would need to know. Considering he said, I promised you abundant life. I gave you life and I gave it to you more abundantly. If you're not living an abundant life, something is out of whack. Well, let's see if maybe we can see what's out of whack. That's where we're going to go today. If you're not living an abundant life that he said he gave it to you, what's the reason behind that? That word life is zoe. Zoe is the Greek word for life. In him was life, and the life he gave you, you should live it abundantly. There's a related verb to that, which is zao. That's the related verb of life. To have true life and to be worthy of the name of Messiah. That's the related verb with zoe. Is zao. Forgive me if I mispronounce one of those. This is supposed to be an abundant life in conjunction with the life that he has given you. After the wind has blown through that dead soul and he's made you alive, this is supposed to be an abundant life there. Paul dealt with a group of people that had a problem with the abundant life. We're in Galatians 3, verses 11 and 12. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For the just or righteous shall live by faith. Yet, the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. That was the reason why we read the law today. If you listen to the last line of the law, it says the one that covets anything. If you covet anything of your neighbors, your co-workers, people in the ministry, anything, one thing, you're not keeping the law. So if you think you're keeping the law, you are not keeping the law. Okay? Is that evident to you? Paul was saying to the Galatians, is this evident to you? This abundant life is to be lived by faith and faith alone. How can a sinner ever attain the blessing of being righteous in the sight of God? It's only one way. By faith. How can that true, rich, abundant life in which man is at peace with God ever to be reached? How are you ever to know that you have peace with God? Unless by faith. It's not by the keeping of the law. The answer is the righteous shall live by faith, trusting God totally, accepting with gladness of heart the gracious provision the Father has made for salvation. It is this person and this person only who shall live. And this abundant life, this living, this life in Him consists of such things as this. Let's see, do a further test on yourself. Turn to Philippians 4. If you're thinking you're living the abundant life, well, let's take a couple tests, and then we're going to turn to a prophet that thought he was living an abundant life too, until the Lord spoke to him. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, for no thing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. The peace of God. Do you have a peace of God that surpasses all understanding? If you don't, you're not living an abundant life. Plain and simple. There has to be a peace because you're living by faith. Your prayers are being offered up in faith. Your prayers are not being offered up and I did this for you, so now you do this for me. That's not faith. That's why most people do not have a peace in their prayer life. There's one thing that you should have going on. Do you know in the sight of God that you are righteous? What is your righteousness based on? Do you know? Romans 5:1. Are you convinced of that? Turn to Romans 5:1. Are you convinced of that in your mind? All of these things lead to an abundant life. Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, see, by faith, having been justified by faith, we have, not you're going to have, you have it, but you got to count it as true, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know that once again you have peace with God? If you're saved today and damned tomorrow, you don't have peace with God. If that's what's going on in your mind, you ain't going to have no peace with God. While you're in Romans, turn to Romans 8:1. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now, right now, as you're standing here, right now, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. That is the life of faith. Do you know that you're not condemned? Or are you condemned today, and you do pretty good tomorrow, you're better off tomorrow, then the next day you're a little worse? You're never going to have an abundant life that way. That's why it has to be lived by faith. John 17:3. Do you know that? And this is eternal life. And this is not the by and by when we get to heaven. And this is eternal life, that you may know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. And this is eternal life, that they may know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. See, once again, there's life. Turn to 1 Peter 1. All of these should be characteristics of an abundant life. And if you're not living it, it's because you're not living it by faith. And like I said, right after this, we're going to go see a prophet, the lesson that he had learned. 1 Peter 1, 8 and 9. Whom having not seen you love, though you do not see him yet, believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. See, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. That's the abundant life. Nothing else short of that is the abundant life. Joy inexpressible. There should be a joy about your life. You're supposed to be a light to the world. Well, if you got a pickle puss on all the time, that ain't blessing nobody. If they're seeing you with joy, they're saying, wow, must be something to this Jesus Christ stuff. But if you always got a sour puss on, and you'll have a sour puss on if you don't know that you're righteous, if you don't know that you've been justified by faith, if you don't know that there's been peace made with you with God. You understand? You will never, ever live an abundant life. All right? Let me ask you if this is going on in your life. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being, it's an everyday thing, being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Is that what people say about your life? Is there a Christ-likeness about you? See, are you about love and peace and joy and kindness and goodness and gentleness and long-suffering? Is that the distinguishing marks in your life? I would say, if not, that's not an abundant life. So now let's see, turn to a prophet here that struggled with the abundant life. Okay, let's turn to Habakkuk. Make a couple of books over from the beginning of your New Testament. Habakkuk. And you better go over there because I'm going to just be pulling things out from that for the rest of the message, basically. So we're going to go through the whole book in a few minutes. Okay? Turn to Habakkuk. That's where that verse that I quoted to you, the just shall live by faith. Well, it's quoted in Galatians. It's quoted over in the book of Romans. It's quoted over in the book of Hebrews. I would imagine it's pretty important. If the just shall live by faith, then let's see what all the talk is about. Why keep quoting this? Turn to Habakkuk 2. Verse 4, this is where they get it from. Behold the proud. You want to see a proud person? His soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. A proud person is exactly opposite of a person that lives by faith. He's the person that lives by works. A proud person. He boasts, I did this, I did that, I did this, I did that, and I did this. It says the just shall live by faith. It says, behold the proud. Turn to the first chapter of Habakkuk. We're going to go through this book. Habakkuk, the prophet's name means to embrace, to cling to. That's what faith is, to embrace, to cling, to receive. It comes from the Hebrew word habak. That's where they get Habakkuk. It's the Hebrew verb for to embrace, to cling to. This man of God, he appeared on the scene of history during the reign of wicked Jehoiakim. The theme of this prophecy is what we're talking about. The righteous shall live by faith. This prophecy can be broken down into two things. Faith tested. The prophet questions and God answers, which is chapter 1 and 2. And faith strengthened. What bothered Habakkuk was that it seemed as if wicked men were getting away with their wickedness. See? It seemed. See? Habakkuk was walking by sight. He wasn't walking by faith. That's what the church does today. They walk by sight. Oh, look at this great gathering. That's where the Lord is. See? There's the Lord. He got to be there. He couldn't be here in this little small gathering. He's at the arena today. 20,000. Hallelujah. Calling on people. They're falling down. That's not faith. That's walking by sight. That's walking by your reason. That's walking in the flesh. The prophet starts to complain. Look at chapter 1, verses 2, 3, and 4 of chapter 1. Oh Lord, how long shall I cry and you will not hear? I cry out to you and you will not save. I'm going to paraphrase now. I'm trying to bring out words. I can't read the whole thing. We don't have enough time. And you will not save. Why do you show me and cause me to see trouble? Therefore the law is powerless and justice never goes forth. That's verses 2, 3, and 4. You see, he starts to ask, why this, why that? He asks how long. He's impatient with God. Why does God allow this when I want that, when I see this? Okay, you see Habakkuk's argument? Oh Lord, how long shall I cry? You will not hear. See, question mark. Even cry out to you violence and you will not save. Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? You hear the sarcasm in that? He's talking to God this way. A prophet of God. talking to God that way. Why does God allow this when I want that? Important, 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 important. It is our duty and our privilege to trust and to do this even when we are not able to figure out God's doings. You understand? The whole reason I came here, it didn't make no sense to me when Joe asked me. I said, this is crazy. Until it was, no. You just go. And I don't like to talk about myself, but it just came to my mind because I'm looking at my brother. It didn't make no sense to me. And it was, why? Why? How come? And I was looking at the circumstances, and that is not faith. Next, look at chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. God answers him already. God's being merciful to him. Look at 5 and 6. Look among the nations and watch. Be utterly astonished. You ever hear this verse, Joe, taken out of context? For I will work a work in your days which you would not believe, though it would tell you. Now, you ever hear that verse being quoted? I'll work a work that you would not believe. And it's always been in glory. This, the Lord's going to do this great thing, right? If any of you have ever heard that verse. If I told you, you would not believe it. But look at the context. For indeed, I am raising up the Chaldeans, a bitter and nasty nation which marches through the breadth of the earth. God shows Habakkuk that he is sovereign. God raises up enemies. You notice that? Joe mentioned about the World Trade Center. The Lord raising those people up and permitting them to slam into them towers. Same thing. The Lord raised up the Chaldeans, who was wicked. They were way worse than the Jews. And that was the problem that Habakkuk had. God raises up enemies. God replies to Habakkuk's first set of questions there. He condescends down to Habakkuk. Habakkuk's second round of questions is from verse 12 to 2:1. Are you not from everlasting? Here goes Habakkuk still asking questions. Are you not from everlasting, O Lord my God, my Holy One? Verse 18, why do you look on those who deal treacherously and hold your tongue? Verse 14, why do you make men like fish of the sea? Verse 17, shall they therefore empty their net and continue to slay nations without pity? There's Habakkuk, bringing the Lord to the bar of justice. His bar of justice and his mind. That's what fallen reason does. Fallen reason brings God to the to your little bench of justice. And you say, I want to know. I've been dying to do that. I want to know. I want to know, God, why you're doing this in my life. I want to know, how come you're doing this in my life? That's not faith. That's questioning God. That's being presumptuous. That is anything opposite than a life of faith. Notice chapter 2, verse 1. Let's see how wicked man can get. Here's Habakkuk. I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I'm reproved. He knows he's going to get reproved. You talk about sarcasm. I'm going to stand there on the rampart and wait till I get my answer and how I'm going to respond when I'm reproved. You talk about the sin of presumption. You talk about not walking by faith. I will stand. I will set myself. Watch to see. I will wait for an answer. To live in God, in Him, who was life, means a life of humble trust and quiet confidence. In this prophecy, Habakkuk could not understand God's dealings with the wicked. In chapter 2, God strengthens Habakkuk's faith by a vision that shows God's judgment on the Chaldeans. Look at the way the Lord explains to Habakkuk once again. How merciful God is to Habakkuk again. Look in chapter 2, where you have about the just shall live by faith. Then the Lord says what's going to happen. Down in verse 16 of chapter 2. You are filled with shame instead of glory. You also drink and be exposed as uncircumcised. The cup of the Lord's right hand will be turned against you. And utter shame will be on your glory. For the violence done in Lebanon will cover you. The Lord's saying, listen, Habakkuk. I'm going to judge the Chaldeans. But I'm using the Chaldeans to judge the children of God. Okay? He raises up people that are more wicked than the people that he's raising them up against. And Habakkuk has a problem with that. He doesn't understand the ways of God. He's not walking by faith. He's walking by sight. He's walking by his flesh. Don't ever forget, your reason is a part of your flesh. Mm-hmm. Your reason has been regenerated, has been renewed, but there is still remnants of sin in your reason. Your reason will always bring God to the bar. And that's what Habakkuk is doing all throughout. And people that are not living the abundant life, that's what they're doing with God. I want this, Lord, but you're going to do this. How come you're doing this, Lord? Why are you permitting this? How come this, Lord? And it says, the just shall live by faith. Now, see how chapter 2, verses 20. And this is a little bit what Joe was touching on. We have to have more of this about ourselves. This last verse that Habakkuk is finally starting to understand. Look at that last verse. I pray to God that you memorize it, that you would always understand it, and that you would have this disposition about you with the Lord. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. This holy temple. There's his holy temple. The word of God. And the first thing we do, well, how come about this is in the Bible? How come that's in the Bible? I want to know about this in the Bible. I don't like that agrees with me. The Lord is in his holy temple. And let all the earth be quiet. What was Habakkuk doing? Running off at the mouth. What do we do? Running off at the mouth all the time. I don't like this. I want this. How come this? I'm mad if I don't get this. It's like, no. But the Lord is in his holy temple. The temple is the word, and the temple is also the body of Christ. It said he's building up his temple. It says that we are what? All stones in the temple. Being built up. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. Now Habakkuk is finally starting to see it. Look at chapter 3. We tend to yap with the Lord, bring charges against the Lord. Chapter 1, God says, okay, I'll give you an answer. Chapter 2, okay, Habakkuk, I'm going to give you an answer again. And now, here's the Lord. He's going to really give him the answer this time. Chapter 3 of Habakkuk, verse 2. Oh Lord, I have heard your speech and was afraid. When you hear the word of God being proclaimed to you, do you leave and say, Lord, I heard the word and I was afraid? I hope today and the people that listen to this tape, I pray to God that they would hear this word from the Lord and they would be afraid. And then look right after that. Oh Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. Not just the sake of being afraid, for the sake of being afraid, so that the people would be revived, that repentance would be granted. That's how revival comes. But look what happens at first. I've heard your speech and was afraid. Now we heard his speech and we're hanging out with him. He's my buddy. In the midst of the years, make it known. And wrath, Lord, remember mercy. You're asking Lord for mercy. The law, if you're going to keep the law, it's going to bring wrath. You want mercy. You don't want wrath. Now here's a little glimmer of the Lord. Look from verse 3, I'm just going to pull out a couple things. His glory covered the heavens. See, this is the God that I talked about in John 17, verse 4, about knowing God. Do you know this God? Or do you know the God that's your chum and your pal and your buddy? Which he is also. But never forget this about this God. His glory covered the heavens and the earth was full of his praise. His brightness was like the light. He had rays flashing from his hand. And there his power was hidden. Before him went pestilence and fever followed at his feet. He stood, he measured the earth, and he looked, and he startled the nations. Sounds like the greatness of God again. And the everlasting mountains were scattered, the perpetual hills bowed. Are you bowing before this God? His ways are everlasting. I saw the tents of cushion and affliction, the curtains of the land of many, and tremble. Nations are trembling. And we stand in the face of God and shake our fist. O Lord, were you displeased with the rivers? Was your anger against the rivers, your wrath against the sea that you rode on your horses, your chariots of salvation, your bone of the water passed by, the deep uttered his voice and lifted his hands on high, the sun and the moon stood still in their habitation. At the light of your arrows they went, at the shining of your glittering spear. You marched through the land in indignation. You trampled the nations in anger. You went forth for the salvation of your people, for your salvation is with your anointed. You struck the head from the house of the wicked by laying bare from the foundation to neck. You thrust through with his own arrows the head of his villages. They came out like a whirlwind of scattered. Their rejoicing was like feasting on the porn seeker. You walked through the sea with your horses, through the heap of great waters. Now I would challenge you this. When I heard, my body trembled, my lips quivered at the voice. Rottenness entered my bones, and I trembled within myself, that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he comes up to the people, he will invade them with his troops. Now, keep your finger there before we read the last couple of verses. This must be your picture of God. If you're not living abundantly, you do not know this God. Not saying you're not saved, but you are not living abundantly because this is not the God you have in your mind. If you're shaking your fist in his face, saying to me, I want to know why, explain to me. That's not the God that Habakkuk came to realize. And we argue and we complain and everything, because basically the problem is the last three verses of this prophecy. And this is the problem. And you got to admit, the problem is just like the same problem that children have. When children don't get what they want, what do they do? They moan and they groan and they hoot and they holler and they kick and they scream and everything. And that's the way we act, because once these next two verses start to happen in our lives, then we start becoming like a backup and start questioning God. Verse 17 and 18. Though the fig tree may not blossom. See, whatever that fig tree is in your life, okay? Though that does not blossom, and you say, I want it, O Lord, nor there's fruit on the vines. If that fig tree doesn't blossom, if there is no fruit on those vines, if you can't see nothing, you see, this is faith. If the fig tree does not blossom, if I don't see that tree blossom, Lord, whatever the tree is in your life, if you do not see that blossom, nor fruit beyond the vines, if you don't see that fruit, why ain't this happening, Lord? Why ain't it growing? Why don't I have this? How come this? Why ain't this person doing this? Why ain't that person doing this? But I want this. Though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food. This is somebody that sees everything about them totally destroyed. You don't see no family members getting saved. You're sick. Your family's sick. Your neighbor's sick. Everybody's sick. Everybody's diseased. Everybody's out of work. Bombs are flying through the air. Things are exploding. The economy's belly up. No matter if all of that be true, the church could be apostate. Though the fig tree may not blossom, you don't see a blossom on that thing. You don't see a leaf on that thing. Nor fruit beyond the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail. And the fields yield no food, not a little food, no food. And this is the key to the abundant life. Though the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. Basically, you ain't got nothing. Nothing that you can see. You understand? Nothing you can see. That's why this whole book is the just shall live by faith. Faith is believing what you don't see. It's easy when the fig tree got plenty of figs. And when there's plenty of fruit on the vines, and the olive is growing, and the yield of the fields is overflowing, and the flock is plentiful, and the stalls are filled up with the herds. What's the big thing in trusting God when situations like that? Here's the key to abundant life. You want to live an abundant life? This is how you live it. Yet, no matter what this all looks like, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Not I'm just going to keep a stiff upper lip. I'm not going to be a stoic about this. Yet I will rejoice. Thank you, Lord, that the fig tree is barren. The olive's gone, the fruit's gone, the horses are gone, the cattle's gone, the money's gone, the health is gone, the jobs are gone, the relationships are gone, the church is gone. Everything could be gone, Lord. But Habakkuk says, yes, Lord, after seeing your glory, I'm going to rejoice in the Lord and I will joy in the God of my salvation. That in Hebrew, my salvation is the very way of Yeshua. I will joy in the God of Yeshua. See, are you rejoicing in the Lord? Are you saying that you have joy in the God of my salvation? No matter what everything looks like. And this is how you do that. The Lord God is my strength. Not me and pulling up my bootstraps and I'm such a fine Christian. The Lord God is my strength. And notice the I wills there. He will make my feet like deer's feet. And he will make me walk on my high hills. So you see, that's what the meaning of life is. When you was a kid and you asked yourself, what's the meaning of life? The meaning of life is that the wind blows where it will. And one day it blew to your dead soul. Didn't know where it came from. It blew through there. Then he gave you eternal life. He gave you spiritual life. Then he promised you an abundant life. And that he granted you the faith to even live that abundant life. And by his tender mercies, he had a messenger come today and was gracious enough to tell you this is what an abundant life is. The Lord was gracious through this messenger. Not this messenger was gracious. That's how you live an abundant life. The just shall live. But that's the only way it will be abundant. If this life that you're living, if you're trusting in your works, by the keeping of your laws, if you're depending on your reason, those are all works of the flesh, and they have absolutely nothing to do with faith. Because as soon as the blossoms start coming off the fig tree, you're going to bring your stuff to the Lord. And say, Lord, I do this, I'm in the ministry, I saved you all these years. I don't do this. I do this. That's the way reason acts. That's the way the flesh acts. That's the way the law acts. And the Lord says, no, I'll strip everything away from you. Everything. I'll take your family off you. I'll take your kids off you. I'll take your neighbors from you. I'll take your job. I'll take your health. I'll leave you like Job on a heap. And you still got to say, as Job did, yet I will trust the Lord. You got to say, as Habakkuk said, yes, I'll trust the Lord. And that's what it means in John 1:4, when it says, in him was life. See, that's the life we were called to live. An abundant life. And that abundant life is lived by faith and no other way. And I can guarantee you this, from people I've known over the years, if you try to live this life of law and flesh and reason, the Lord will strip the blossoms off the fig tree in your life. He'll turn out the stalls, the herds, the cattle, everything in your life till you're left with nothing. And then you'll trust in Him and Him alone. Let me just end with this. Galatians 3. Verse 3. Chapter 3, verse 3. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Or did you, when you became a Christian, you believed? You became a Christian by faith. Your sanctification is by faith. Everything is by faith. Are you so foolish? And I would challenge you with that question. Are you so foolish? Trying to live an abundant life by the flesh? Or are you going to live that abundant life by faith in the God that you read today in Habakkuk? And dear Lord, we thank you, dear Heavenly Father, that you didn't destroy us, dear Heavenly Father. All the times we raised our fist in your face, dear Lord, and said, why? Why? How come, dear Lord? Why? But I pray, dear Lord, that we would be a people, dear Heavenly Father, that would know that the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth, let all the nations remain silent. And that we would trust you. And I pray, dear Lord, that you would grant us the faith, dear Heavenly Father, to walk in your ways, to trust you when we cannot see the hand in front of our face, dear Heavenly Father. But that we know, dear Heavenly Father, that you are the great God, you're the great Father, you're the loving Father, and you have the best for your children in mind. That you are in charge of this universe. And I pray, dear Lord, that we would not kick and holler and scream and shout when we don't get our own way, dear Lord. But that we would be as Paul said to the Galatians and to the Romans. And the author said to the Hebrews. And as Habakkuk said, that the just shall live, Zoe, by faith. That's the kind of life we're to live. A life of faith. And dear Lord, I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you would cause growth in all of our lives. And we thank you, dear Lord, that just as the wind blew in the physical man, we thank you, dear Lord, that you cause it to blow and make this spiritual man, dear Lord. We thank you that it pleased you to have mercy upon our souls, dear Heavenly Father. When you could have just as easily damned us with the rest of the world. But you had mercy upon our souls, dear Lord. And we thank you, dear Lord, that you are loving Heavenly Father. And we pray that we would not be rebellious children, but that we would be obedient children. Like your command says, honor your mother and your father so that you would have a prolonged life. How much more should we honor our Heavenly Father? So that we would live a prolonged life. We'd ask you, dear Lord, that you bless the rest of our day together, dear Heavenly Father. And let there be any that hear this tape, dear Lord, that have never trusted you and you alone for salvation, dear Lord, that you reach down and have mercy upon their souls, dear Lord, and that you would grant them repentance and faith, dear Lord. And we'd ask you these things, dear Lord, in Jesus Yeshua's precious name. Amen.